Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all listeners. My name is Takafumi Akabane. I'm with Astellas Pharma Inc. Today, I'm very honored I'm able to win such a big prize and be here for our lecture. First of all, I'd like to sincerely thank Professor Chiba Terasaki and all of GSSX, our selection committee members, for giving me this opportunity. In addition, I also thank all listeners for taking the time out of your busy schedule. Now, let's begin my presentation titled with What I Learned from Drug Discovery Animal Research. So let's move on to the next slide. This slide shows the outline of today's my presentation. I'm going to talk about what I've learned through activities on aldehyde oxidase metabolism research at Astellas. The series of AO studies has started in the wake of failure. I'm going to talk about what kind of mistake did we make, why did we make such a mistake, and how we overcame them. Next slide, please. Let me begin with a brief background. What we're going on with discovery animal research at Astellas around 2000. Let's move on to the next slide. In slide 4, I think most of listeners know this graph showing causes of candidate attrition and attrition rate in 1991 and 2000. As you can see, PK scientists overcame fears of PN failure due to low bioavailability in 2000, despite the fact that unfavorable PK accounted for approximately 40% of all candidate loss in the early 1990s. In other words, the strategy to prevent fast-pass metabolism by seed had already established by 2000. Next slide, please. As you know, SHP plays important role in fast-pass metabolism and is main metabolic enzyme to regulate human exposure of many drugs after oral administration. And also know there are plenty amount of tools to evaluate SHP metabolism in human. So we ran human PK prediction methods such as allometric scaling or in vitro in vivo extrapolation, which had been developed by our predecessors. And we utilize ancient wisdom for candidate selection from PK point of view at that time. Next slide, please. Under such condition, what kind of failure did we do? In this session, I'm going to talk about our failure story. So let's move on to the slide 7. Here describes introduction of FK3453, main character of this story. This compound was developed as an adenosine 1,2-dual inhibitor for Parkinson's disease. Here shows structure and physicochemical parameters of FK3453. Moderate molecular weight, good solubility, lipophilicity, and permeability, meaning that FK3453 shows favorable physicochemical properties. Next slide, please. Subsequently, preclinical PK profiles of FK3453 are shown in slide 8. Let me have to skip explaining the details of each parameter, but you will see this compound is heavily metabolized by sheep, low clearance with high bioavailability in animals. Therefore, favorable PK in human was expected and nobody doubted P1 success of FK3453. However, next slide, please. This slide shows time plasma concentration curve after oral administration of FK3453 at 10 mg per person. Plasma concentrations of FK3453 in humans, shown in closed circle, were exceptionally low with the oxidative metabolite M4. As a result, the development of FK3453 was suspended due to failure of PK prediction. Next slide, please. So, why did we miss it? After that, the metabolic pathway of FKC-453 in humans were identified. As shown in upper right of slide 10, M4, an oxidative metabolite of aminoprimigene moiety, is main metabolite of FKC-453, and this reaction is catalyzed by aldehyde oxidase. So since we used CYP-based prediction only at that time, we overlooked the sign of low bioavailability risk by high AO activity in humans. Please move on to the next slide. I don't go into the detail, but we have conducted lots of studies and literature investigation after PFAN drop of FKC-453 and revealed that large variation is more than 50 times difference in AO activity was observed in rodents. No active AO activity in dogs due to deficiency of AO expression or low AO activity in human cytosol were identified. So that beta experience told us that predicting PK profile of AO cleared compound in humans from CYP-based conventional method is pretty difficult. And we learned that we have to pay attention to non-CYP metabolism in addition to CYP metabolism. Next slide, please. From slide 12, I'm going to talk about our challenges to overcome AO issues. Next slide, please. At first, we had to make an alternative decision. Consider AO is just accident or try to come up with new idea. For researchers, of course, everyone wants to try to establish novel approach. Meanwhile, it is not always true to dig into the detail in all cases when think about company strategy. Because when comparing investment cost for new challenges and loss cost due to P1 attrition, which may happen with less than 10% of all P1 trials, we could also say AO class is once in the blue moon in some case. Having said that, we chose to challenge to establish a novel approach to beat AO issues. Otherwise, I won't be here, right? Anyway, I want to say no-go decision is as important as go decision in industrial science in here. Okay, let's move on to the slide 14. Subsequently, we made a strategy plan. Initially, we had to select which materials we are going to take. River extract, hepatocyte, or fresh materials, and so on. And also think about where to begin. For example, if we go with a fresh materials line, we may have to improve organ supply situation before start metabolic study in order to obtain enough numbers of river samples. Like this, so many options were there at the beginning of this research. After long discussion, next slide please. Eventually, we selected hepatocyte as an enzyme source, and we started to compare AO activity in fresh and individual or pooled cryopreserved hepatocyte. It was very important to confirm whether or not cryopreservation adversely affects AO activity in hepatocyte, because we assumed that previously observed low AO activity in liver cytosol is attributed to preparation process including freeze and thaw. Whereas, when think about drug discovery usage, pooled hepatocyte have a huge advantage toward fresh hepatocyte in terms of long-term storage, ease of experimental scheduling, choice of pre-characterized loads, for experimentation and repeated experimentation with same laws. Therefore, we decided to move AO project forward in line with this strategy. Next slide, please. This slide 16, shows depression curve and in vitro intrinsic clearance values of FK3453, O6, benzylgranin, and zaleprone, which are mainly metabolized by AO. We could compare intrinsic clearance values for each different compound in four pairs of freshly isolated hepatocyte and cryopreserved hepatocyte derived from the same donor. As you can see, in vitro intrinsic clearance values of AO substrates were comparable in fresh and cryopreserved hepatocyte. Although limited number of samples were used for this comparison, the results suggest that cryopreserved hepatocyte maintain similar AO activity to fresh hepatocyte. Next slide, please. Subsequently, we compared AO activity in individual cryopreserved hepatocyte and pooled hepatocyte. In slide 17, comparison of intrinsic clearance in pooled and individual hepatocyte is shown. Pooled hepatocyte named VKA consists of the whole individual lots named GGJ, IQJ, TSF, and WNN. The intrinsic clearance values for each different compound in pooled hepatocyte approximate average clearance in each individual hepatocyte. This data indicated that pooled hepatocyte also maintained AO activity after two times of three-thaw process, and its AO activity represents average of individuals. Next slide, please. Finally, we conducted correlation analysis between in vivo and in vitro intrinsic clearance in AO-cleared compounds using pooled hepatocyte. As a result, in vitro clearance from pooled hepatocyte approximately tenfold underestimated to in vivo clearance calculated by dispersion model, which means we may not be able to predict in vivo clearance precisely even if we use freshly isolated hepatocyte as an enzyme source. Meanwhile, underestimation rate was comparable among compounds, and every compound plotted near 1/10th line, shown in red dot line. Why underestimate? Unfortunately, it remains unclear. For example, aerobity during harvesting, coagulase perfusion, or shipment process could be a factor, and maybe still has some room to improve. However, we finally concluded that our established approach got bottom line in drug discovery research purpose, then decided to close this project. Because underestimation rate was constant and rank order consistency was confirmed, therefore we can select or prioritize the compound in the compound optimization process. Put compound patent issue aside here. For example, in an early stage, use Zoripolido as a benchmark compound and screen out if compound shows higher clearance than Zoripolido, or in case candidate is already selected and need clearance prediction, calculated empirical scaling factor, meaning average of underestimation ratio from reference compounds, in this case about 10. Then, in vivo clearance may be estimated by multiplying clearance in vitro clearance by empirical scaling factor, and so on. Next slide, please. So let me summarize our AO project. The AO activity was comparable each type of hepatocyte, indicating that pooled hepatocytes are a useful tool in evaluating AO metabolism in drug discovery research, taking usability into the consideration. Although underestimation risk was still there even in hepatocytes, and that reasons remain unclear, but our approach is available for compound screening or optimization. I think I learned two key points from these challenges and experiences. One is selection and concentration. I mean, which material, where to begin, what to do. I spend a considerable amount of time for planning. And the other is continuous awareness of goal to achieve. Although there are some rules to assess, to improve, or to continue project in terms of pure science, we could conclude our project at appropriate timing in terms of company strategy. Next slide, please. Let me wrap up my presentation. What I learned from drug discovery and research using the last couple of slides. Next slide, please. Although it is very typical, but let me say what I've learned is don't be afraid of making mistakes. One of my favorite soccer players, Robert Baggio, said, "Only those who have the courage to take a penalty kick miss them." When he corrects miss at penalty shootout in the World Cup. In my case, I would say only those who have the courage to take on a challenge make failure. Please note that I won't say failure teaches success, because I know there are many cases failure do not lead to success. However, without action, nothing happens, neither success or failure. Indeed, more than 90% of human success became possible as a result of tons of challenges and failures by precedents. I think taking action is as important as achieving success. Hope next generation will find something from my message and hope this future success. Next slide, please. This is the last slide of my presentation. It was my great colleagues who told me many things more than my experiences. Actually, I couldn't do anything without their help, so I think I'm just here as a representative, and all members involved in this project are awarded this prize. Let me once again say thank you to all my colleagues. That's it for my presentation. Thank you for your kind attention.